السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. کنٹینیوئنگ وت دا سیم مجلس. ڈونٹ ایکسپیکٹ پریز فرام پیپل اینڈ ڈونٹ بی اپسیٹ اف سمبڈی ہیو ٹو کریٹیسائز. So our Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali is saying that more especially don't expect it from family. One is outsiders. Outsiders too you mustn't expect. Don't think somebody going to praise you. If somebody criticizes, don't get upset. And he said more especially from family. Don't think family is going to now praise you. And sometime I remember our Hazrat Rahmatullah, he mentioned, he said that if you took 100 rand and you gave to an outsider, some friend or something, you gave him 100 rand, he'll sing your praises. What a Hadiya, he gave me 100 rand, he'll sing your praise. If you took 100 rand, you gave it to your brother. He gave me 100 rand. He could have given me 10,000 rand. He's worth so much, was 100 rand to him. The brother will feel like that. He's got a sense of entitlement that I'm the brother, so he should have been doing for me, he should have been doing so much more for me. You only give 100 rand. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, he gives this example that a person, he may have excelled in whatever field, sometime in a dini field, sometime in a dunyavi field. He may have excelled. There's no problem in excelling in a dunyavi field. Somebody excels in a dunyavi field, there's no problem with that at all. I keep saying this. What we have a problem with is the secular world. This corporate society, secular world. We have a problem with that. Because that is a mindset. It's a way of life. But to excel in worldly things, there's no problem with that. Person is running a business, he's doing very well, mashallah, he's alhamdulillah, very good. Person is in construction, he's building, alhamdulillah, no problem. These are all worldly things. A Muslim must excel in every field, he must excel, no problem. The secular field is a problem. It's corporate mindset, secular society, that is a problem. So how do you combat this thing? Because people are going to go and study, they are going to work, because that's how the world is, the mindset. This morning I was speaking to one father, so he's telling me, say, Maulana, you know what, I think we are just enslaved by a mindset, that we have to go this route. I think we're just enslaved by this. So I decided now that, you know what, I'm taking him, take him out. I'm taking him out, now we're going to put him, so you need madrasa. So that's why he phoned. I'm taking him out of high school, sending him, he'd rather come and complete his hives, and after that he can do whatever he wants to do. Gee, so a person could have, that just, I just mentioned, jumla mu'tarizan. By the way, I mentioned that. But to answer the question that what do we do, because people are going to go and study, they are going to get involved in the corporate world, they are going to take up these professions, etc. So what is extremely important is to hold on to something of deen. A person, he wants to go deep sea. There's no zarurat for him, but he wants to go. So now, wear a life jacket. with the life jacket. They say, no, but I went so many times. Yeah, you went so many times, nothing happened. You don't know which day something going to happen. So now the person who is in a schooling environment or a university environment or a corporate environment, he must hold on to something of deen. Whether it's a weekly program, whether he joins the tabligh, goes for his gush, whatever. So what happens is, his alignment stays right. He is reminded of his purpose of life. Otherwise, he forgets. He gets so caught up in his worldly pursuits that he totally forget what was the reason for his creation. So a person, everybody wants Jannat. Nobody says they don't want Jannat. Everybody wants Jannat. Right? But now, I can't be sitting in the aeroplane that is flying to Cape Town and expect to land in Mauritius now. It's not going to work out. If I want to land in Mauritius, then I have to make sure a certain aeroplane is going to Mauritius. So we have to be in that coach that's going to Jannat. We can't be in that coach that's going to Jahannam and we say, no, I'm going to Jannat. It's wishful thinking. So khair. So Hazrat Imam Masudullah Rahmatullah is giving the example. Remember, we're talking about praise and criticism or censure, right? So he's giving the example that sometimes the person could have excelled. And an elderly person recognizes his excellence. An elderly person recognizes this person's excellence. So he praises him. He praises him. Whenever he sees him, he meet him with respect. He may even kiss his hand also. Now, this young person mustn't expect his grandfather to do that. When he goes home, his grandfather says, hey, pick up the paper they put in the bin. I'm now, who am I? Everybody can see my excellence. And how are you talking to me? Today, Allah forgive us, that forget the grandparents, even the own parents. Children are taking offense how their parents spoke to them. Be getting offended. Yeah, but he could have spoken to me in a nice way. But he didn't have to shout me in front of everybody. Children are talking about their parents like that. Leave everybody else. Then, when it comes to grandparents, don't even talk about that. The grandparents are like a, now they are like a taklif now. They are like a taklif. Because now they get irritated. They don't like the, noise. They don't want dirt. That is grandparents. They will spoil the grandchildren. When they get angry too, then everybody must just move out of the way because they are the grandparents. But today, our nafs is so bloated. We don't want to be told anything. Our own parents mustn't tell us anything. Our own grandparents mustn't tell us anything. So, this doesn't mean that relatives must be disrespectful. No. But we as individuals, we mustn't expect or be desirous that now everybody must respect me. Sometimes, the person is an anim, right? But the family people, they're asking somebody else a masla. They got anim in the family, but they won't ask him. They'll ask somebody outside. Now that time, if you're getting offended, everybody is coming and asking me. These people know who they're asking. If you're getting offended, then we can't be from the awliya Allah. Our Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Maghdas Sahab, he always gives that example of Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. And his mother told him, let's find out this masala from the Imam Sahib, the Imam of the Masjid. Now, Imam Abu Hanifa, he was much more highly qualified than the Imam Sahib in the Masjid. But the mother is telling him, go and ask the Imam Sahib. Because they got that respect now for the Imam in the Masjid. So he didn't tell his mother that, no, this masala I can tell you. No. He went to ask the Imam Sahib. He is such a great senior faqih, but he went to ask the Imam Sahib the masala. And when he went to ask the Imam Sahib didn't know the masala. He didn't know. There's nothing wrong in not knowing. Not everybody knows every masala. So, he told the Imam Sahib, no, no problem. I'll explain the masala to you. So he taught the Imam Sahib the masala. Then he asked the Imam Sahib the question again. Then the Imam Sahib gave him the jawab. Then he went and told his mother, no, Imam Sahib gave this jawab. He didn't tell his mother that, you see, you sent me by the mother Imam Sahib knows. He don't know nothing. I had to teach him this. He didn't see anything. So these were real, you know, people of Allah Ta'ala, they had ikhlas in them, they had sincerity in them, and that's why Allah Ta'ala took them to great heights. So, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali is saying that Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali mentioned this incident, that Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, his father used to smoke hookah. And now the father will tell the son to clean that hookah, put the coal, put the whatever, tobacco, whatever. Now who knew that he was going to become now Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali? He's the son there in the house now. So he used to make the father's khidmat. So one day one elderly person went past. He may have been somebody, some pious person, Allah Ta'ala gave him some. So he saw this and he called Maa Qasim Sahib's father one side. And he told him that, see, don't do this. So when you making this child clean that hookah pipe, the arsh of Allah Pak will shake. Now this is not a hadith sharif now. You can't start quoting this. But he was just trying to explain to the father this, the gravity of doing this. Allah Ta'ala could have allowed him to see, like if you read the biography of Hazrat Maulana Shafi'i Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, then there are so many things from childhood. Senior ulama, they recognize that this person, he is going to become somebody. And this was people of firasat, they see these things. So this elderly person, he told the father of Maulana Qasim Sahib that, please don't make this child do that. Allah Ta'ala has got, his life is going in another route. Don't let him do this. So that the father stopped after, never allow Maulana Qasim Sahib to touch the hookah. Not every family is going to have that benefit of one elderly person going past and tanning. But so many times, our children may be having such qualities in them that they can become such great people, right? But we as parents, we cause it. We take them in a totally different road, totally different route. Now the child will get influenced by whatever lifestyle we lead. See, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that every child is born on fitrah. In other words, every child is born naturally a believer. So the children that pass away, masum, small children, they pass away. They all jannati. After that, it is the Christian, it is the parents who make that child into a Jew or into a Christian. In other words, that child is born in a Hindu home or a Christian home or a Jewish home. Now it is the parents that will take the child down that road. Otherwise, the child was born on fitra. The child was born natural. Now the parents will take the child in that direction. So now if that is with kufr, then what about with guna? Same thing. We as parents, we don't create that environment at home. So now the child goes in that line. Right? Who introduced the child to the TV? Who introduced the child to the movie? Who introduced the child to other gunas? The parent. So the parent made the child into a sinful person. So it's not the end of the world now if we've made that mistake. So now we need to change that now. We must change it. Now we must take the child in the right direction. Put the child in the right direction. Gee, so this kissa Hazrat mentioned. And then Hazrat mentioned that see, when it is now understood that you must not expect any praises from family members, right? And don't be upset with their criticism. Then the family member that is the most closest to you is your wife. Parents and children, they will draw a line. They'll draw a line. When it comes to criticizing or something, they'll draw a line. The child, even if you want to tell the parents something, stop at a certain line, you know. The parents too, they want to reprimand the child, but they'll stop at a certain line. The wife don't stop. The wife won't stop. She will tell him what she wants to tell him. She will give it to him properly, whatever she wants to tell, she will tell it. There's no lines, because it's a better kind of relationship, you see. But the family member that you are most closest with is your wife. Now, don't expect praise from her now. Don't expect praise from her. And if she criticizes, don't get upset. Don't get upset. Last week, Hazrat Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, Daawat Barakatuh, he mentioned a very nice thing, but he was scolding the ladies too. No? So he said that this mother-in-law, daughter-in-law stories, you know. He said, I hope they're listening. So you almost listen. So he was pointing out a few things about the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. But then he mentioned that, see, he's addressing the husbands. He says, see, don't get involved. Don't take sides. So don't take sides. Don't take the wife's side. Don't take the mother's side. Say, don't take sides. Say, the moment you take sides, you'll be offside. You'll be offside. The best place for you is to stay outside. Just stay outside. And then he mentioned, don't ever think you're going to sort the problem out. That you're going to call your mother now, and call your wife now and say, right, now ma, what she said? Right. And you, what ma told you? Don't ever think you're gonna do that. Just leave it. It'll get ironed out in its own way. Don't try to get involved. Dear Hazaji, Muhammad Rahmatullah, he's saying that don't expect praise from the wife. Yes, there will be some wives, they are very good. But there are some wives that will let the husband have it too. And many Buzrugan-e-Deen also experienced this. Many Buzrugan-e-Deen, they went through this, that their wife had a very sharp tongue, taking off with them, telling them things. But they made sabr. They made sabr on that. And through that sabr that they made on it, Allah Ta'ala raised them to very high darajat, very high stages. So, Hazji Rahmatullah Ali was going to mention the qissa of Abul Hasan Nuri. So he just mentioned that this Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Ali, just to rewind a little bit. You see, lot of times we'll say that, no, I'm tolerating my wife. I'm tolerating my wife. But how I'm tolerating my wife? Either with silent treatment, or I'm on my own buzz, she can carry on buzzing. I'm on my own. I do my own thing. Right? So that is not what is meant here. What is meant is, you be normal. You still show all good akhlaq. No matter what she throws at you, you throw flowers back at her. Whatever she is saying, whatever, you throw flowers back at her. That is what is meant here. Ji, so Hazji is mentioning, he wanted to mention this qissa of Abul Hasan Nuri, Rahmatullah Ali, and his wife. And then he mentioned that certain people, they become famous by, due to some incident in their life. So he said this Abul Hasan Nuri, his name was Abul Hasan. Nuri got nothing to do with his name. But because when he used to speak, Allah Ta'ala made it, generally when the Buzruganjin speak, then they speak, there's Noor coming out of them. That Noor is what goes into our hearts. But this Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Pak made it that people used to actually see the Noor. When he used to talk, they could, people, certain people with sight, they could actually see the Noor. So that's how he became known as Abul Hasan Nuri. But then Hazratji digressed a little bit. He says people get, they become famous due to certain things. So he said there was one Buzurg by the name of Abdul Karim. And he lived in the Sultanate period, you know. So he had some disagreement with the Sultan of the time. So every now and again the Sultan used to put him in jail. Every time he speaks something against the Sultan, now they put him in jail. So he became famously known as Abdul Karim Jaili. Well, every time he used to be put into jail. So he became known as Abdul Karim Jaili. So the Buzruganuddin, so there is an incident concerning him during his stay in jail, which is worth mentioning because there are lessons in it. So first Hazrat was going to talk about Abul Hasan Nuri, but then because he mentioned about this Abdul Karim Jaili Rahmatullah Ali, so he said, no, there's certain thing to be mentioned about him. And then he mentioned that these Buzruganuddin, they used to keep with them two sets of garments, two clothing. One being worn and one was a spare set. Right. But then Hazratji left both the kissas now. And he took a sabak from here. Because that is what the whole thing is about, to take a lesson. So he said, let me stop a while to point out that owning more than one set of clothing is not against the concept of zuhud. Sometimes people think that zuhud means I mustn't own anything. So Hazri is saying that owning more than one set of clothing, you know what is zuhud? Zuhud means that you are discarding the dunya. You've got no love for the world, you know. So this is not against zuhud. You may possess two sets of clothing, four sets of clothing, eight sets of clothing, even 10 sets of clothing. If Allah Ta'ala blessed you with wealth, you may sew 10 sets of clothing for yourself. Right? This won't be against the concept of zuhud. What is the provision? You don't put yourself in debt. How much Allah Ta'ala provided for you, you can live within that. don't put yourself in debt, and don't have these things to show off. There must be no israf in your clothing. There must be no, now I'm wearing this to impress. That mustn't be the thing. But if you got, Allah Ta'ala has blessed you and you got that many sets of clothing, no problem with that. It must also be pointed out that to live in ease and comfort, the person himself, he wants to live in ease and comfort, but at the cost of causing suffering to the wife and children. This is definitely against the concept of zuhud and wilayat. You get men like this. They dressing up. They visiting with friends. They going here, they going there. I don't understand this thing. Married people, they're leaving their wife and they're going with friends overseas holiday. They make sense. Don't make sense. A married man, why is he leaving his wife? Your wife is your comfort, right? Yeah, it may happen occasionally. May happen once in a while or something. Few cousins are going for Umrah or something already. Chalo man, let's go for Umrah. That's a different thing, right? But you get a lot of people. This is a yearly story. Every year, they're gone. Sometimes same destination, sometimes different destination. Those wives also, they're really naqisatul akal. I mean, they should, and are they that foolish? They should smell a rat. Daal mein kuch kala hai. There's something not right here. What, every year, what is all the same fellas they're going? And they're going this, so much money they spend. I mean, if you can afford to spend that much money, you want to take your wife and children, man. You know, take your wife and children, enjoy that time with them. Not with friends. So, a person who is living his life, and he is living it up, but at the cost of the comfort of his wife and children, that is not zuhud. There's no wilayat. He can't be a friend of Allah Ta'ala. So when it comes to a person's home, Azizji Rahmatullah is saying, having a double-story house or having a six-story mansion, this is also not against the concept of zuhud and wilayat. Even if a person owns 10 houses, this too is not against the concept of zuhud. The provision being that you never ask from other people. You don't go around begging from people. Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with such wealth. No problem. But to go around begging from people, this is disgrace. As-su'alu dhillun. To ask, to beg, this is degrading. So Hazrat says, let's take an example. A man has got 4 sons. Now, how are all going to stay in one house? They get married. Now, they got their wives. They'll have their children. Now, if Allah Ta'ala has blessed the person with wealth, and he gives each child one house, where's the problem? Whenever some murid wrote to Hazrat Wala, Rahmatullah Ali, complaining of friction between wife and in-laws, in a situation where everybody was staying together in one house, Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali used to write back, as soon as possible, go stay on your own. Recently, there was one incident, the husband and wife, for years they are having problem. This anim dealt with it, that anim dealt with it, they're not coming right. But they can't stay apart also. But they're just fighting at loggerheads. So, eventually, they came to an anim. So he told them, he said, go and live separately. Now they are in harmony. They are in harmony, they are happy, they are staying nicely, no fighting, no problem. So, as soon as possible, go and stay on your own, whether by renting a house or building your own, don't stay together. There is a Farsi saying, don't make your home in other people's home. In other words, so many people, they can't stay together. How can several families stay together using one entrance, one kitchen, one lounge, bumping into one another day and night? No. Each one's quarters should be separate. If you have four sons and Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with wealth, provide each son with his own house. Maybe you got only one piece of land. In that case, divide the property. Divide the property, making sure that each son has his own quarters. The kitchen and the cooking should be done separately. Allowances should be separate. Sometime, all working in the same business. They're all working in the same business. Now they say, whatever you need, just take it. And this one got married, he needs a car, I'd give him from the shop, just pay for the car. That one is going for Umrah, just take all the money, give it. No, there's no hisab. Those things lead to problems. Then you'll get one brother saying, no, but when he went for Umrah, then he went and booked in, where? He went and booked that hotel. When I went for Umrah, I went and booked this hotel. Now he spent more than me. And if he never realized it, his wife realized it. She will tell him, yeah, but when they went, how come they stayed there? We went, we stayed here. For nothing, you look for problems. Lot of the old people, you see, lot of the old people, they don't want to let go. They think they're going to go with their whole business and their factory, everything in the cupboard. They never see the size of the cupboard. Where are they going to fit everything inside? So they don't want to let go. So now what they just hold the whole pot now. Anybody, they feel like a power. Yeah, you want anything, you must come ask. You make a request here, we'll give you. Rather, you either give them shares in the business, give them all shares in the business. So then every year or whatever the profits are shared out, they get their share and finish. Then what they do. Or if the father feels that no, business is on my name, no problem, pay all of them their salary. Give them a salary. Right? Then they will now live according to that salary. What they want to do, where they want to go holiday, what they want to buy, what they want to get for their children, whatever, they'll live within that salary and carry on. Then there's no fight. There's no fight between the brothers. A lot of these family problems are caused by the family themselves. They can't come fight with the mother and father. The brothers will start fighting amongst themselves. But why? Because of the actions of the big people. Gee, so they must be given their allowances separately, their food must be, they must go do their own grocery shopping and do it. Why it must be that now the old people, they'll do everything? Then you're going to get problems. So Hazratji says that you may be wondering what all this has got to do with Islam. Why are we discussing all this domestic problems? What this got to do with Islam? No, be assured. These matters are very important in one's Islam. Why? An important principle in Islam is that your mind must be free from unnecessary disputes and worries. So last week also, when Magda Sahab started the majlis, it's a very important thing for your Islam is your heart must be clean. Till you got problems with people, you don't like that one, why that one got that, I didn't get this, you can't progress. You're carrying baggage, you can't progress in Islam. So the individual has to be in a tranquil state. You have to be in a tranquil state. He should not be flustered. His thoughts should not be scattered, but collected. Taking steps to prevent problems from arising leads to tranquility. If there is no peace in mind, the person's tilawat, his salah, is recited with a troubled mind. The person's sleep is restless. He cannot concentrate on his work. A mind in turmoil is the antithesis of building up a connection with Allah Ta'ala. So you have to be in a tranquil state in order to build your connection with Allah Ta'ala. Then Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayhi goes on to explain, even food, to eat good nutritious food, high quality food, good food. High quality don't mean have to come from Woolworths. Just good quality food. So to eat well, this is also not against the concept of zuhud. So Hazrat says that we're not just making these statements. These statements have got proofs. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had more than one set of clothing. He had more than one topi. He had more than one pair of shoes. Where the principle is established that it is not against the sunnah to have more than one. Now the quantity will vary from individual to individual. But to have more than one is not against the sunnah. Right? For example, now the time too is running out. It's a very important topic this. People came to visit by the house. Now you gave them all. Today's time we give them cut mangoes. In the old days, you go to the house, they give you the mangoes. Now if you only got one knife, now each person must wait for the other one to finish. But if you got several knives, you can put a knife in front of everyone. Each person can cut the mango. You entertaining people. Now 20 people came. Now if you got enough utensils, enough cups, enough to feed everybody. So it's not against zuhud. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah, I just want to mention very, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had one fine quality Yemeni shawl. So to have a nice quality clothing, there's nothing wrong with that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Shamayr Tirmizi, it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate chicken. So obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam normal life was of a high level of simplicity. Right? And he ate very, very simple. He lived very, very simple. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnat is for everybody. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Pak in his wisdom knew people like me and you gonna come. So there is place for us in the sunnat also. So the people of wealth, if they are living a more fine life, the poor people must not look down on them that you're not on sunnat. And the people of wealth, they must appreciate the poor person that how close they are to the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one must look down on anybody. Provided today what is the problem is people are chasing a lifestyle even if they get involved in debt. You owing people money, you're not paying your staff, you funny things just to maintain a lifestyle, robbing this one, doing this funny thing, this side. No. If Allah Pa gave you and you are appreciating the ni'mat of Allah and you're using it, there's no problem with that. But to chase it and then do all funny things, that will be answerable by Allah Pak. Allah Ta'ala, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah.